pleasure to welcome back every Tuesday and Thursday a little after 4. TSN Hockey Insider was back in Chicago for the last couple of days. Ray Ferraro, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How's everything there?
It's good. I wanna do something here. Aaron Ward. You know, I know professional athletes like to needle each other, and that's the way I was when I grew up. I'm a needler. And,
of course.
And you hope most people take it, you know, for what it is. And I tweeted it out, and I didn't hear anything back from Aaron. So I hope he's okay. So I'm gonna throw this at you, all right? This is Aaron yesterday at this time.
I feel like the predictability of this game is so off the charts not.
Now, I said that was kind of like a Dan Quayle moment.
The question is whether we're going to go forward to tomorrow or we're going to go past to the back. And I can tell you, listen, we don't want to go back to tomorrow. We want to move forward. I believe that I've made good judgments in the past, and I think I've made good judgments in the future. And the future will be better tomorrow. Well, Bobby Knight told me this. He says, there is nothing that a good defense cannot beat a better offense.
How did he not win? That's the real question.
I feel like the predictability of this game is so off the charts not.
It's just one of those moments, you know. He's great on television. He's great on the radio. He just had a brief moment at the beginning of our conversation yesterday.
And well, you know what's crazy is a lot of times you have stuff in your head that you want to say, and as you're starting down the road, you're like, I have no idea how to finish this. And then you try to fix it, and you get that. And of course, none of us have ever done that.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so I would imagine that Aaron's a good sport, and he understands that we're having some fun at his expense, right?
And he will hear about it.
Okay. You'll make sure of that, right?
I will make sure he hears.
Well, he was on the right path, and that was even before we found out that Vasilevskiy was starting. What were you thinking as soon as you found out last night that it was Vasilevskiy?
I was sitting next to Bob McKenzie, and I said, when the goalie came out of the tunnel, because we were across the way and, you know, we're up near the top, and I said, wow, Bishop skates kind of funny, or looks like he's skating kind of funny. And then he turned the corner, and I went, well, that's why, because it's number 88 and not number 30. And that's how we found out. I mean, we had no idea, no clue. They were extremely tight-lipped about all that, and I don't quite buy the, you know, we didn't know till we got to the rink, because Vasilevskiy said he knew he was playing in the morning. Now, maybe the players didn't know, and that would be, I would get that. I would see why the coach would do that, because you don't want them worrying about something they have no control over. It's just everybody do your own job. Don't worry about the goalie. That's somebody else's business. And so it's entirely likely that the players didn't have any idea till they got to the rink.
Although, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, well, you want to know if you're a defenseman who your goalie is, because Bishop handles the puck so well, but because he's been hurt, he hasn't been handling the puck.
Yeah, there's differences in everybody. I mean, I'm sure when Marty Brodeur was in the net, the defense wanted to know when Chris Terreri was going to play, because they would have to go back and get the puck from areas that you never had to when Marty was in there. So same thing with Bishop, but you're right, he hasn't been getting out of the net to play the puck anywhere near as frequently as he normally would. But I can tell you for whatever many times that I was on a team where there was a question in goal, whether the guy was healthy or not healthy, guy spent most of the lunch, you know, the pregame meal, talking about the goalie. You get to the rink, now you're always looking at the goalie to see if he's going to play. Then there's a conversation 23 different corners of the room about the goalie, and nobody's focused on what they need to do. And I think Tampa played a hell of a game last night. They were better than Chicago. And you can pretty well, I mean, it's pretty obvious the series is tied, but I would say Tampa's been the better team for more of the series, yet it doesn't really matter anymore. And now, you know, I mean, you may have this kid, Vasilevskiy, in for Game 5. You know, certainly John Cooper wasn't committing to Bishop for Game 5. He said, you know, he's going to play again in this series. I don't know when. But it's really out of the players' control. They got a chance to win here. They can't worry about the goalie. They can't worry about the winger. They can't worry. If you're a centerman, you worry about your job. You can't be overwhelmed by the moment. And I assume that's pretty hard.
Now, you talk about Tampa being the better team, but last night with the kid in goal on home ice, and I realize it's Tampa, and we've all seen how good they checked the Canadiens into the ice when they eliminated the Canadiens. They checked the Rangers into the ice in games 5 and 7, and they have done a great job of checking Chicago into the ice throughout this series. But you would think, what did you count, 15 giveaways by Chicago?
Oh, that was in the first two periods.
Like, you would have thought that there would have been a little, I mean, they won the game, but you would have thought there would have been a little more oomph offensively from them.
Boy, I thought there would be. I thought they would have a really good start. We said at about the 5-minute mark when we were sitting there watching, man, that's two games in a row that Tampa's been unreal out of the gate here on the road. But I will say this, Tampa's a faster team than Chicago. And as much as we talk about how you need speed and speed kills, and most people think of that in an offensive way. Speed kills defensively. There's nowhere to go with the puck. The defense for Chicago goes back to get it. They turn around, and here's a Tampa guy right in their face. And they want to give it to the winger, but here comes the second guy taking that option away. There's nowhere to go with the puck. If you look in the first couple of minutes, Brent Seabrook coughed one right up the middle of the ice, forced Crawford into a save. Oduya turned over another one, and then Hjalmarsson. Three of their top four guys in the first 5 minutes burped one up, and Tampa got a chance. Their speed is really, really difficult to create against. And, as I said, you know, Tampa is there are a faster team than Chicago. Chicago's got four or five forwards that aren't very fast, and that's a pretty big chunk of your lineup.
It would just be totally naive to take what a team did over 82 games, and Tampa led the league in scoring, 3.3 goals per game, and just take that and expect that to continue in the playoffs. They knew that the margins would shrink, and here we are, 4-1 goal games in the final. They don't have that offensive margin anymore, and they really do look like an Eastern Conference team that's thriving because their speed is helping their defense.
Yeah, and don't forget the other factor when you look at a full season comparison is that in the middle of the season you run into a crappy team somewhere, or you get a team on, you know, three games in four nights and they got nothing, and you might find a team that's all banged up and they got their backup goalie in, and you get five or six on those nights and it props up your stats. You get into a playoff series and it's the same guys over and over and over again. There are no surprises. You know as much about their team as they do by the time you get into a playoff series. Like right now, this series is about one thing, in my opinion. It's about one thing only with three games possibly left, and that's execution. There were no surprises. There were no line combinations that would be so shockingly different that the other team couldn't react to. It's about execution. And anybody that thinks they've got a handle on what's coming out of the chute, to quote the great philosopher Aaron Ward, not.
With Ray Ferraro on the Stanley Cup Final Trail, Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690, Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, and Mitch Gallo. After the game,
I think we got to be proud of the fact we came in here and took a split. Obviously, it seemed like a wasted opportunity with the way we played and not being able to get a win, but we're still feeling confident in our group. I mean, that game could have went either way, so we still have to feel good about ourselves.
I think we're happy about the confidence coming out of this game, knowing that, you know, we're raising our game as the series goes along, and we're excited to rest and recover and get ready for the next one.
There are the two captains, both feeling good about where they're at. Steven Stamkos, as you pointed out, Ray, they believe that they have carried the play. And Jonathan Toews has been through this before. He believes that the Chicago Blackhawks are in the process of peaking at the right time. And they've got an extra day to rest up.
That's the big factor for me. Chicago looked slow yesterday. They looked like they really had a difficult time, not just at the start, Rod, that we talked about earlier, but through the game, they had trouble generating stuff in the middle of the ice. They couldn't separate the Tampa defense from the forwards. Like, their gap control was really tight, and there was nowhere for them to go. They need, the Blackhawks do, the extra day more than Tampa. And I think it can be beneficial for them. I mean, they got to go in there and win one of the next two road games in there, right? And that's assuming they win their game at home. But Tampa's shown absolutely no fear on the road. They've been a better team really in the playoffs on the road than they have been at home. And if you know, game five might be Chicago's best crack at it.
So you mentioned the line combinations wouldn't catch anybody by surprise, but what did you make of the way Joel Quenneville kind of juggled them, put them in a blender? Because from one shift to the next, you really didn't know what you were getting.
Well, one thing you did know you were getting was Taves and Hossa were going to be together. He got me off guard with Patrick Sharp on the left side there. Sharp's had a really, really difficult playoff, but he played by far, not even close, his best game in about 2.5 weeks. He had a post on a breakaway. He had another really good scoring chance. He kept the puck alive and got an assist on the goal. So that line was pretty much out there together. Now, we had Andrew Shaw in the middle, Assad and Kane. And as much as people are saying this is a coming-out party for Victor Hedman, what about Brandon Saad? I mean, my goodness, what a player that kid is. He's just so explosive and so powerful. And so they started with Shaw there, but they had nothing going. So he flipped Richards into the middle. And look, I've known Joel for 30 years, and he's a pretty aggressive guy. He's really a gut feel guy on the way he goes about things. And it wasn't looking right to him. So he made a switch. And so Tampa didn't switch anything. What they did do is they started playing the Boyle, Morrow, Brown line a lot. They took the place of Paquette, who scored the winner the night before, or two nights before. But they took the, they flipped that line up there because Boyle and Morrow and Brown were playing really well. That was really the one adjustment that Tampa made in the game.
Well, you're right about Sharp. Sharp looked so much lighter on his skates last night.
You know what? I can't get in his head, but I've been a goal scorer that's been in a long drought before. And what ends up happening is you think yourself into the ground. You think that your chances are going to come, so you wait for them instead of skating to correct them, right? And so you end up standing there, and the more you stand there, the puck never comes. And then when you say you look lighter on the ice, what ends up happening is you get a little bit of the boo-boo lip on, and that's where you're like kind of, whoa, me, I'm not getting any chances. Why am I not getting any chances? And then you get a chance. And it's up to the player to take advantage of the chance. And Sharp got that opportunity, and I could just see it because I've been there. And it's like, man, this is where I should be. Like, you take it, it's like a shot of adrenaline. So there he is playing with Taves and Hossa. You know you're going to get some looks. You know you're going to get some offensive time. And all of a sudden he looks like a different player. But he hasn't warranted being in that spot.
You know, with all the focus on the low scoring involving, you know, two high scoring teams here, two really good offensive teams. Blackhawks offense was down, but don't forget they missed Kane a lot of the year. We know how good they are. Gallo thought last night might have been the night, like what, game six of Tampa and New York. And because we have so many key guys who haven't put the puck in the net, I keep waiting for that kind of game to happen as well. Do you get the same feeling, or do you think it's going to continue what we've seen basically?
Mitch, I thought it was going to be a bunch of 4-3 games.
Yeah.
In the finals. And we had one of them, and it was awesome because remember how chaotic that second game was? That's what we want. You know, the first game was 2-1. My gosh, there was like no scoring chances. The third game was better. There was more to it. You know, Tampa's comeback win. Last night, I mean, there was long stretches where there wasn't very many chances. And it's because as offensively skilled as these teams are and as talented as they are, you don't get this far if you can't check. You don't get this far if you don't know how to play a system. And they got lots of good players who don't make many mistakes. And, you know, it's pretty obvious there's not a whole lot of offense there to be had.
Were you surprised by the fact that we saw 7 power plays in the game last night, and with all those offensive players on the ice, even on the power play, they had trouble scoring?
I'm a little surprised that the power plays are struggling a little bit. I guess you can say maybe the penalty killers are doing are a little bit better than the power plays right now, but power plays are going to find it tougher to score during the playoffs as well. And for the reason I mentioned earlier, there are no secrets. You can't come up with a new offensive set all of a sudden that the other team hasn't seen. They've looked at the coaches have looked at probably every power play you've had in the playoffs, and they know when this guy has the puck, he's going across that seam most of the time, or he likes to shoot it, or he likes to go back to the point. And so the penalty killers really have a leg up on the power plays. And as far as the number, see, I I'm of the mind that, you know, people say don't let the referees, you know, influence the game. But if they don't call any penalties, then they're influencing the game because they're dumbing the game down. They're letting guys turn it into a grappling match. And so I think they have to keep the guys honest. If they don't, you go right back to 1995 and we can all go to sleep after the first goal.
All right, look into the crystal ball. What do you see happening on Saturday night?
I have no idea who will be in goal for Tampa. My crystal ball is cloudy there. I'm guessing it's going to be Bishop because he's going to have a couple of extra days here. But I actually think Chicago's going to win Game 5. I don't know why. They haven't played very well. I guess I'm waiting, like a lot of people, for them to hit their high note. Like, it's got to come. It's got to be there. And I think maybe Game 5 is the trick.
Was Allan Eagleson at the game last night?
I didn't see him last night. I just saw him at Game 3. And, you know, he would have been there last night. I would have had the same amount to say to him as I did in Game 3, which was nothing.
And he was your agent, right?
He was my first agent, yeah. I mean, I can't even think of anything I would say. You know, like, there's really nothing to say. I mean, I can't believe, quite frankly, that he was allowed on the event level. Now, if the owners want to have him to the game, that's up to them. Sit in the box. But to have him down on the event level where he had access to the players and into the locker rooms, and like, I have no idea why that is allowed. I have no idea. It's not like he was a banker. I mean, he had the crimes that he committed, the stuff he was convicted for was against our game. Why would he be allowed in there?
Can you imagine if Hawks ambassador Bobby Hull was in the same spot?
There's one of the other things, you know, is that even a lot of the media, Mitch, they said to me, you know, gee, I probably should know more about this, but it was before my time. Obviously, some of the younger guys, and I'm like, look, here are two books you got to read. Go read it, because that's part of the fabric of the game. That's part of the history of the game. Because a lot of the younger guys, I mean, they wouldn't know Allan Eagleson from a Gatorade bucket, right? Like they would have never heard of him.
Yeah,
Bob Goodnow's ancient history to them.
Ted Saskin.
Oh, they would have no idea. Not a clue. Many of the 20-year-olds? Heck, when my son gets over here in 20 minutes, I'm going to ask him if he's ever heard of Ted Saskin, and I can, and my vote is going to be no. He's going to be like, what's he do?
Thanks an awful lot, Ray. As always, have a great weekend.
You guys too. We'll talk to you Tuesday.